to Ecclesiastes, and we'll begin reading in verse number 8. So stand with me when you find that. Our text is in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Let's not forget that today is Fellowship Sunday, and that means we're going to eat, but it also means we're going to fellowship. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Now, I do want you to note this and find this also after we read our text in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I want you to find Daniel chapter 5, okay? So let's read our text, Ecclesiastes 8, verse number 1. The Bible says this: "Who is as the wise man?" So this is Solomon asking this question. Who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. So we're going to be talking this morning about wise people. And in the end, God's wisdom in our life working in us makes us different. And we're not like the world. We're different when we have God's wisdom. And we're going to see that in the passage, specifically how God changes us to be more like Him. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your blessings. Again, we pray Your blessing on the message. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Again, don't forget to find Daniel chapter 5. We'll be getting there here in just a little while. How many of you remember mullets? Raise your hand, you remember those. Okay, isn't it weird that that was a thing back in, I think it was in the 80s when I was a little kid. So I never had a mullet. Thank the Lord, my parents really loved me. So I didn't have one of those. Raise your hand if you had a mullet. I'd like to see. Amen. Come on. Let's go. All right. Some of us have one going on right now. Yeah. Anyway. So that took a turn I wasn't expecting. But anyway. So in the 80s, that was a thing. Then it came back, you know, and it's still here, sort of. So here we go. When I was in grade school, though, it wasn't the mullet. It had kind of whittled its way down to a tail. Raise your hand if you remember the tails. All right. Raise your hand if you had a tail. Brother Jeremy, please raise your hand. No. You had a tail? Let's go. Amen. Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah. So the kids in my class had a tail. I did not, again, because my parents would not allow such a thing. But I so wanted one. I mean, I had friends, and they had the tail. You know, you're like, Pastor, what is a tail? Okay, I wish I could illustrate this for you, like physically show you a tail, but...
All hair, you cut it off, it's, you have a piece of, it's enough that you can braid it, so it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you, Miss Janet. That made it sound a little bit not manly, but... so it was manly when nobody braided it when I was... Okay, so, but you could, but none of our guys did that. So... It's basically, you have this little piece right in the middle, and it just grows down to the middle of your back. Now, all the rest of your hair looks like this, but you have this long strip of hair just right down to the middle of your back. That was amazing. That was the coolest thing. I wanted one of those so much. In fact, there was a kid in my class named TJ. He had a tail, and I'm thinking, man, I wish I could be like TJ, you know, and have a tail. Well, thankfully, that didn't work out. I will say, though, when we see wise people in the world today, there's times when we see people behaving with wisdom, and we might say something like this. Like I viewed TJ, we would say something like, I wish I had wisdom like that. I wish I had what they have. Something is making them different. Maybe we can put our finger on it. Usually we cannot. We can tell they're different. We can tell they're special. We can tell they're above average. And we want to be like that, but we don't know exactly what makes them different. So in our passage, Solomon is looking for somebody who has wisdom. He has a search. It's like Solomon sees what wisdom looks like, and he's looking for somebody who behaves with this wisdom. It's a search that he has. Look at verse number 1 again. It says, who is as the wise man? So he's still searching for the wise man. He's been searching for the wise man as we've studied all through this passage and through the, you know, section of Ecclesiastes. So really the question is this: what makes a wise man? Jesus answered that question, didn't he? Now there's all sorts of scripture that answers that question, but Jesus plainly answered it when he says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man. So Jesus plainly said it. It's somebody who hears the sayings or the word of God and then acts upon it. He obeys it. Now, it's not just, I think sometimes think that wisdom is a technical thing. Well, I'm certain that there are times when people think wisdom is just technical. What do you mean technical? Here's what I mean. I mean, if you just know what to do and then do it, and now you're wise. But that's not how wisdom works. You know, like, pastor, just tell me what to do. Well, okay, I can tell you what to do, but that doesn't make you wise. Wisdom is spiritual. It's God working in you. You know, we talk about it on Sundays. You're like, pastor, are we going to do this again? You know, we talk about how God the Spirit works in us every Sunday. Yeah, but that's the Spirit of God working His Word in us so that when we behave in obedience, it's in faith. And then as a result of obedience in faith, we have wisdom. Wisdom comes from obedience, but in faith. So it's not technical. It's not, man, I've got my notebook out, you know, I got my big glasses on, you know, and I'm going to take some notes. Well, we should do that, and we should pay attention and give attention, make notes of things. But let's not think that it's just some sort of a technical process that we can go through and now suddenly we're wise. No. Solomon's looking for someone who has a genuine wisdom. Jesus says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, but the implication is that we do them in faith. We do them because we believe God. We trust God. We have heard His word. He's working in us, and that work He's doing in us leads us to obedience. And we obey Him because we submit to Him and we surrender to Him. A good illustration of this is actually in Proverbs chapter 3, one of my very favorite verses, probably many of yours too. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Did you know this is an illustration of wisdom? Trusting in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. And so we're behaving or we're understanding wisdom. It's being illustrated in our life when we're not trusting in our own understanding. But in all our ways, we're acknowledging the Lord because we believe Him and we trust Him. And we know His way is the best way. Our way isn't the best way. So we acknowledge Him in all our ways. And He directs our path. So we receive direction from Him. That illustrates wisdom perfectly. I had I don't like to debate. I'm not good at it anyway. I can't think fast enough. You ever have somebody say something to you and you don't know what to say, so you're just sort of like, blah, blah, blah. That happens to me all the time. And then I think of what I should have said, like, the next day. How, you know, and then I'm like, yeah, I should have said that. You know? Well, that's that, exactly, you know? So that's how I get, you know, just, Anyway, so, that's why I don't like to debate. I'm not witty enough. It's not like I can't win arguments. And plus, I don't like arguing. Raise your hand if you like arguing. You like to do it. Yeah, okay. Some of you are being honest, but I promise you, some of you are not being honest right there. Anyway, so I had a debate / kind of argument with a young man after church. I would have been in my 20s. He would have been in college. And I didn't go into this conversation thinking I'm going to get into an argument with this young man. It just sort of quickly went there because of something he said. He was speaking of philosophers and the professors he had at university and their achievements. And he was putting those achievements and the philosophies of this world on the same level as men of God and the wisdom of God. And it bothered me. He says, you know, I think that the Bible's great. He's thinking about it as literature. You know, I think that the authority and all of that is great. But he doesn't see it as more authoritative than the authority he sees through the achievements of scientists and philosophers and all these who in times past have accomplished what they have accomplished without God. And so he says, but you know, to discount, and our argument became, because I do view And as we all in this place this morning view God's wisdom as exceedingly, and not even, we can't even see it in the rearview mirror that man's wisdom is even close to God's wisdom. And he had a real problem with that, and thus our debate began to take place. But what we need to understand this morning is that God is the only source of wisdom. I'm going to say that again. You're not going to get wisdom from any other source. The wisdom we're talking about that will change your life, it comes from God. Amen. Now, there are wisdom in this world that'll change your life, but it won't make you the spiritual person that God will make you. It only comes from God. Only comes from God. And that's what Solomon is looking for, a wise man who understands what we just talked about. Well, look at verse number 1 again. It says, "And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing?" So the implication of that question is built on the affirmation of the first question. In other words, wisdom comes from God. First question, who's a wise man? Well, wisdom comes from God. We know that. So you build on top of that truth. Wisdom comes from God. Then who knows the interpretation of a thing? Well, it would be somebody who has wisdom from God. That would be the answer. Now, this is interesting. That word interpretation is also used in Daniel. Remember I told you to turn to Daniel? Maybe some of you did that. Let's go there real quick. Keep your finger in Ecclesiastes 8. Go to Daniel 5 with me. Let's begin reading in verse number 10. Let me put my glasses on. I need big glasses, really big ones. All right, verse number 10. "Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed." Look at those next four words, verse 11. "There is a man." Do you know who she's about to describe? Of course, it's Daniel, but do you know who she's about? If we could give him a characteristic that connects to what we're talking about, she's about to describe a wise man. And so let's read it. Verse 11, "There is a man in the kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods." Now, Daniel doesn't truly have the spirit of the false pagan gods, but she sees in him, wow, this guy's different. By the way, wouldn't that be how the world describes anybody who's truly spiritual when they don't understand what makes us different? They say, wow, you're different. There's something special about you. And they don't know the true God, so what would they compare it to other than the best that they know of? Wow, you're a really good person. Well, that's basically what she's saying. Let's go on. "And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him." I love it that it uses wisdom there. "Was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the kings, I say, thy father, made master of the magician, astrologers, Chaldeans and soothsayers." Look at verse number 12. "For as much as an excellent spirit..." Oh man, we could spend the whole rest of our time talking about these characteristics. An excellent spirit. By the way, I guess we will talk more about this. If you are walking in wisdom, you have an excellent spirit. Right. You know what? People see it right off the bat. It's amazing, isn't it? Our friend, the Mords with us, missionary. You can just meet somebody and say, wow, that person has a great spirit. That's true. Amen. Well, there's wisdom that just flows out of us, and it's identified in our spirit. Let's go on. "And knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel," note as we go on, "whom the king named Belteshazzar." I'm pretty sure I said that wrong. "Now let Daniel be called, and he will show thee..." Say that last word there. Interpretation. Now go back to Ecclesiastes. That word is the same word used here. Who knows the interpretation of a thing? Well, Daniel does. Daniel knew the interpretation. He was an example of a wise man that Solomon was searching for. Such wisdom, as we already showed, comes from God. And someone who knows the interpretation knows the interpretation because God is working his wisdom in him. This is an amazing thing how God works. He speaks to us, and His word works in us, and we trust Him and we obey Him, and His wisdom gives us discernment. And so we understand the interpretation or discernment. And so that's what Solomon is speaking of here. Someone with God's wisdom is different. They're changed. Now, how specifically are they changed? Look at the last part of verse number 1, Ecclesiastes 8. A man's wisdom maketh, note this, his face to shine. So one way he changes is his face shines. And then next, and the boldness of his faith shall be changed. So he changes in a couple of ways. Now, first of all, he says face here. His face changes. Now, it's not like a physical transformation so that you have like another face. He's talking about your appearance. He's talking about not just your appearance, but your behavior that's related to your appearance. So our behavior changes. Now, God said in Numbers chapter 6, listen to this, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee. So God's face shines upon us. And then it says this, and be gracious unto us. So if God's face shined upon them, it meant that he was being gracious. A man's face was a reference to his behavior. So if his face changes, what that means is his behavior is changing. It's to say that wisdom changes you. That's really good. You're like, Pastor, I really need a change. Yeah, join the club. There's a long line. You know, we all need a change. Wisdom changes us. How does it change us? Well, first, if you're taking notes, number one, the wisdom of God makes us shine. It makes our face to shine, but our behavior, so our life, it shines. That's what he says. We shine. The brightness. The word shine here has to do with brightness, but it refers to zeal, excitement, energy, or just energetic. Someone with this spirit would often be attractive to be around. I immediately thought of Brother McCracken. You know, because he's just, I don't know. You just want to know what he's going to do. Like, I just want to be around. I just want to see because I don't know what he's going to do. So I want to see what he might do, right? So I heard a story. You can quote me on this because, I mean, I might be missing some details. But I heard a story about Brother McCracken that when he pastored in Stillwater, Oklahoma, that he came to church on Sunday night with his tie on backwards. Some of his clothes were like turned around. Now that, if you know, we know some about Brother McCracken, but maybe in the earlier years, that wouldn't maybe surprise us. But he was acting like nothing was different. He's like greeting people and his tie was on backwards. I mean, like what's happening right now, you know? Gets in church and then says, today is backwards day. You know, like what? And then he said, okay, everybody stand up. Oh man. Can you imagine if Brother McCracken was your pastor? Like, what's going to happen? Made everybody stand up and find somewhere else on the other side of the auditorium to sit. It was backwards day. So find somewhere else to sit. Like, shake things up. You know? And that's fun. That's exciting. That's an example of somebody who their face shines. It's kind of an energetic, it's an exciting countenance. And that's what we need. Maybe not to the extent of others that we know, but we need God to work in us so that our appearance and our life and our characteristics of our life shines for Him. So that people would say, I like to be around this person. This person is a little bit different than what I am around in this world. Somebody comes to church and they are going to visit with us and they say, how was your week last week? Not good. And we don't have a smile. And then you're like, I'm going to tell you how my week was. And you're getting angry when you're telling the story, you know? You're not shining. People are backing away. Back away. Just back away slow. So what God does in us through His wisdom is He changes us so that our life begins to shine. You say, Pastor, I need to shine like that. Yes, you do. We all need that. You say, I haven't been shining like I should. That might be true. What do I need to do to change? Well, let's remember, it's not a technical thing that we need. You just need to put on the smile. Hey, we're at church. Stop fussing with each other. You know, say that to the kids, you know. Stop fighting with each other. We're at church. You know, let's be happy. You know, we sang that song, Oh Happy Day, this morning. We need to make a shirt that says, Oh Happy Day. If you wear that shirt, you cannot be cranky. You know? Western Hills Baptist Church, Oh Happy Day, and you're the crankiest person in the room, don't wear that shirt. You know? We need God to change us. Some of us need God to help us to shine for Him, and not in a pretend way. How do we get it? Wisdom. God says when His wisdom works in you, it changes you so that your face shines. It just happens like a byproduct. You don't have to manufacture it. It just, His joy flows into you and out of you. So, first of all, God's wisdom makes us to shine. It makes anyone to shine. Number two, the wisdom of God will make a person bold. I love this. Look at verse number one again. It says, the last part of the verse, a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. And then it says this, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. The boldness of his face. Now, the word bold or boldness here has to do with might or strength. And so it would be as though somebody who has God's wisdom has boldness too, or might or strength or confidence. Don't you love that word, confidence? We need confidence. It's kind of, you know, it makes you nervous when you're around nervous people, you know? Oh man, I don't know. So I'm not going to embarrass anybody, okay? That's a good way to start a story, right? Because there's some of you. No. I want to teach my kids how to drive. And I will admit, there have been times that when one of my kids goes to the driver's seat, I'm nervous. I'm like, seatbelt, five-point harness, you know. And I can tell, I get nervous sometimes because I can feel how nervous they are. You know, and then it makes them nervous because I'm nervous. And there isn't anybody in the car who's confident. You're like, man, we need to get right with Jesus. Don't put it in drive yet. You know, let's make sure we're all saved. You know, are we going to make it through this? And so, you know, but that's, we can't live our Christian life that way. And you know, so many Christians do. Just no confidence. No boldness, you know. And by the way, a byproduct of somebody who doesn't have confidence is anxiety, worry, fretting, stress, wringing your hands. You say, Pastor, that if there's two things I need to shine. By the way, it's interesting how those two things maybe go together. Not too confident about your finances, then your face maybe doesn't shine either. You know, we lose confidence. What we need is confidence. You can't manufacture confidence. We're not talking, some people are just confident. You know, their personality tends to make them, you know, confident. They just kind of shine with that confidence, and people are attracted to them because of their personality. But that's not what we're talking about. Well, I'll just never be confident, Pastor, because my personality just won't let it happen. What we're talking about has nothing to do with your personality. What we need is a confidence that comes from God. And it's a kind of confidence, by the way, that only comes from God. So even if you have a natural confidence, because you have a great sort of bright personality, that doesn't make you godly, and it certainly doesn't mean you're wise. What we need is a confidence that comes from God, an assurance that comes from God, to know that I'm on the right path, I'm doing what He wants me to do, and I know that His wisdom is flowing through my life and out of my life, and what it does in me naturally is it makes me confident. This is just what we need. Think about this with me. I'm getting excited because now I'm coming down here. So there's a guy in the Old Testament, in Samuel, his name's David. He was a young guy. Now, I don't know, maybe I've heard people say he was small or whatever. I don't know how big or small he was, but I know he was young. And he came to the camp where Israel was supposed to be at conflict with the Philistines. And what he found was there was a lot of Philistines who were afraid, and they were hiding themselves. And there was a man named Goliath who was coming to the Valley of Elah, and he was shouting obscenities about the name of God. And David came on the scene, and he said, "What's happening here? Why are you guys over here hiding, being afraid? And then Goliath is over there, and he's speaking against our God." So David identified a discrepancy here. What did he notice? That there's confidence over here, but there's not confidence over here. And what was replaced there, what had replaced their confidence was fear. And what it had done is it had caused them not to fight God's battles because they were afraid. David comes on the scene and he says this: God helped me to kill a lion. God helped me to kill these vicious animals that came in to disrupt my position to take care of the sheep. And God gave me the strength to destroy them, to get them out of the way. And David, in confidence, said these words, the same God, now I'm not quoting it, obviously, but the same God who gave me the strength and the ability to take care of those animals, he's the same God who's going to take care of Goliath. Amen. So, you know, David went into that conflict with confidence, when nobody else had confidence? Well, because he trusted in his ability? No. He trusted in his personality? No. It had nothing to do with that. His confidence was he knew what God wanted him to do. He knew that God could take care of it. And God gave him confidence. And he went in there and he defeated Goliath. But God did it. So where does confidence in our life come from? Confidence doesn't come from us. It comes from God. And when God's wisdom is working in us, he gives us confidence. Fear goes away. We don't have to be afraid. Why do we not have to be afraid? Because we're doing what God wants us to do. Isn't that good? I don't have to be afraid. Why? Because I'm right where God wants me to be. Get nervous about things. Concerned about how this will go or how that'll go. Ever went into a meeting? Have you ever had the pastor say, "Hey, I need you to come into my office"? And you're like, "Oh, great." You know, it might not be the pastor; it might be any your boss or anybody who's in charge. But I know that people get nervous when I say, "Hey, will you come to my office?" So I always try to diffuse it. Nobody's in trouble. It's a positive thing. It's good. I like try to do all these things to help them not be nervous about coming to my office, you know. Unless it is bad, then I'm just like, "Come to my office." And I use a lower voice, you know. If that happens, you can just be afraid, right? So, no. So, you know, we want to go into meetings or into, you know, life and decisions that we've made with this kind of confidence, not afraid of ramifications or consequences. Why or how can we do that? Because we're doing what God wants us to do. And when you know you've done what God wants you to do, then he gives you confidence. And with that confidence, the fear goes away. And you can charge in there and even take on Goliath without fear. So I think we can see, can't we? People who have this kind of wisdom, they're different. Let me say that again. People who have this kind of wisdom, they're different. How are they different? They shine. They shine. How are they different? They have confidence. Where did it come from? It came from God. I have to say, I never wanted a mullet. Never. Okay? So rest at ease. I never wanted one. I did want a tail, but I never wanted a mullet. When I was in Bible college, obviously I didn't want either a mullet or a tail when I was in Bible college, but when I was in Bible college, I did want to be like the men that came in, those pastors that came in. Remember those days when... Or even still today, and the pastors who come through here and they preach, and you're thinking, man, these guys are amazing. I tell Melissa, I say to her, when we have the best, I feel like we have the best preachers come through our church, like in the whole world. And I'm not just using hyperbole. I'm not trying to exaggerate here. I mean it. It doesn't get better than Brother Davison, okay? And we're talking about the highest quality of men of God who came through and preached and delivered the messages here. And how many times, Melissa, have I sat under these men for the revivals and the meetings and thought, man, these guys are great. I'm garbage. I'm the worst. It does a couple of things. It sort of makes me insecure and feel like, but it also, there's an inspiration that happens. I think to myself, I want to be more like an example like these men. What they do is they shine and there's confidence there and God is working through them to do that. But what makes me that way? What makes us that way? It's not our aspirations. It's not our motivation. It's not us saying, I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to be cranky anymore. We should all say that probably, but that's not what motivates us or changes us. I don't want to be confident. Or rather, I want to be confident. I don't want to be, you know, fearful and worried and stressed and having anxiety. Can't even sleep at night. I don't want that anymore. Like, I want to be more like, and we put people in this position. And we want to aspire to be that way. But that's not a good motivation, and you'll never get there as a that being your motivation. There's only one way. It's through God's wisdom. You say, well, how do I get that? You have to study the Word. It's not complicated. You have to study His Word. You have to make a priority God's Word in your life. You have to get up in the morning. You have to read His Word. You have to study it. You have to meditate. You have to listen and let God sharpen you through the teaching and preaching of His Word. And listen, the more you are under His Word, and the more as you learn His Word, you, like James, become a doer of the Word, a hearer and a doer. You understand and you do. You decide to submit and you obey. And what God does through His Word is He changes you. Amen. He makes us different. And I love this passage because He gives us two specific ways that He changes us. He makes us shine, and He gives us confidence. That's what wisdom does. You won't get it from anywhere else. Stay under the Word. Stay faithful, and He'll change you. Father, we thank You for this great day, for the lesson of the Word. And it might be that there are some here who identify one of the two ways, or maybe both of them, and probably both, that there are times when we struggle in both of these areas. To shine, meaning to be filled with a genuine joy, and then also to have boldness, confidence. And one or both of those, Lord, might be a struggle, that there are some that here this morning that have that as a struggle. So I pray that You, from Your Word, have encouraged their heart to see that the answer is simple. The devil wants it to be complicated, but it's not. We need to be under Your Word, in Your Word and under it, studying it daily and also in church to hear it. The pillar and the ground of the truth, the Word of God, delivered in Your house, making us wise, changing us to become more like You. We thank You for who You are, for being faithful, for Your love. And we do ask Your blessings on the remainder of today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're